Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with the King of Kentucky Backpacking himself, the redheaded master of big hair, Jeremiah Stringer. How are you, my
friend? Hey, man. I'm doing fantastic. Let me mention something about the hair, by the way. For those who don't watch on YouTube, I have big hair tonight. I went through the drive-thru at Taco John's. And I was getting my wife some food, and one of my students was there. He's a senior. This really hit home, bro. I was like, hey, yo, what's up, Kevin? And he was like, your hairline. And I was like, bro.
You're old now, man.
I was like, man, I'm in my 20s, and this guy's talking about a receding hairline.
Oh, dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah, these kids, man, they're funny.
I would kill for your hairline.
Oh, come on now.
Okay, some people have four heads. Some people have five heads. I have a nine head, okay? Like, this thing goes back. There's a lot of acreage of forehead for me. That's all I'm going to say.
You look great in that hat. Look great in that hat, though.
That's why hats are my friend. That's all I got to say about that. So, it's going to be a good night tonight, man.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's going to be a really good night. I already got some coffee, which, by the way, I got this new kind of coffee I'm starting to drink.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to talk about it right now because I'm going to do a video in a couple weeks about coffee, and it's going to make its way into the video. And I think, Jeremy, I went backpacking, or I didn't get to go backpacking. Actually, I just did an overnight with Jeremy from All Things Outdoors, and I showed it to him. It's this coffee that I had, and, dude, so good.
Well,
so good.
Whenever we get to meet up, I'll show you this coffee apparatus that is pour over, but you didn't need anything extra to go along with it that Jonathan was using and Lance from Outland is using. And I'm like, this is going to blow up, but I don't want to steal their thunder. So I don't want to say it on here in case that they're wanting to do a video or something about it. But
I hear you. I hear you. We don't want to bust it on people's potential announcements. I get you.
That's right.
I get you.
But
we do have an announcement for tonight, Jeremiah.
Yeah. What is it?
And that is our sponsor for tonight, being Outdoor Vitals, Live Ultra Light. Jeremiah, I'm a huge fan of Outdoor Vitals. We've talked about this before. I'm part of the Live Ultra Light program that they've got going on, where you put a little bit of money away each month, and that accrues over time, and you can buy some really cool gear. I mean, even today, look at this. This came in today.
What you got there?
This is a 1/8-inch foam pad that you can use for about 8 bazillion different things when you're out on trail. Actually had to pre-order this thing. They get them in and they sell like that and they're gone. And so I got my hands on this. I've got a lot of their gear. I really do. I have hoodies. I have pants. Let's just say I'm kind of an Outdoor Vitals fanboy just a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, my two favorite pieces of gear that I have from them is their Shadowlight backpack. I got the 45-liter, but you can get the 60-liter. And I got to tell you, customizable totally on your torso length, your hip belt size, and it's under 2 pounds, and it's framed, so you're still living ultralight.
Yeah, man.
My other favorite piece of gear is their zero-degree top quilt. It's a DWR, so it's going to be a little bit more water-resistant, keep you warmer if it's getting a little damp, but they actually have it in 0 degree. They have 15 degree and 30 degree, so whatever your temperature needs are, and I got the long version because you know me. I got to fit inside.
I do know you. You're long.
Yeah, so two pieces of gear I absolutely love, and they are helping me live ultralight.
Yeah, I got to admit, like when I first heard about Outdoor Vitals, I guess it was maybe 4 years ago. I got to be honest, they were selling a lot of stuff on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of thought it was... You know that, you know what we think about Amazon stuff, right?
Yeah, cheap Chinese junk.
Yeah, we kind of think it's that Chinese crap. And the truth is, they aren't. I came to find out they're from Utah. They actually designed their own gear. They got a bad rap somehow along the way, and it makes no sense because some of their stuff that they're making is phenomenal, and they have designers there in Utah that are designing their gear. They're even using fabrics and materials that nobody else is using. So if you get the chance, definitely check out the Ultralight gear from Outdoor Vitals. Thank you, Outdoor Vitals, for being our sponsor for tonight's show. Jeremiah, are you ready to talk to our guest tonight?
I saw the social media you put on Instagram.
We're getting into a fight tonight, man. It's a battle. No, it's not. It's not a battle.
It's all love.
100% clickbait. 100% clickbait. No doubt about it. I'm excited to have these guys on because this was a podcast I listened to before we started our podcast.
Yeah, so, they have more episodes than we do for sure.
And they're way better at doing this than we are. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to have these guys on. They're kind of the OGs of some of the backpacking podcasts that are out there. So let's bring to the studio tonight, Carl Mandrioli, Derek Somerville. What's up, backpacking and blister spots?
How's it going? How's it going?
Let's get a pack on. Let's go.
We're just glad to have you guys here, man. This is like, you know, it's like the first time you get to meet your heroes. You know,
that's not correct. That's
if your hero has egg crates in his sound system, I mean, you gotta raise that bar. You know, you gotta raise that bar. That's all I'm saying. We'll start. Good. I'm glad we can do this. This is fun. This is great. Carl barely got off work, so I'm glad we could make it. And did you get enough gas in the car over there, buddy?
Plenty of gas. Thanks, Derek. Okay. Yeah, we're honored to be on the show, so thank you so much for having us on. This is, definitely our pleasure. And, yeah, I don't know about the intro, though. I feel like you guys are the standard in backpacking podcasts. We're just the humble guys that try to work their microphones correctly. Where Derek's still struggling right now.
I'm struggling every day.
I don't think I could go that far. But let's just say this. I'm a big fan of you guys' podcast. Have been for a long time. And actually, Carl and I, I think we talked on the phone like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
We met through Dan Becker. And we've kind of, over the last couple of years, have texted back and forth several times about things. Let me ask you this, because I've always been curious about this. Derek, you live in California, and Carl, you live in Colorado.
Yeah.
Correct.
Jeremiah and I live an hour apart. Okay.
That's awesome. You guys are so fortunate to have that.
You guys live like hours apart.
Right.
Like, how did this whole thing come together?
Well, let's just start with we need the space between each other. We need that space. A lot of heat. No. Carl used to actually live out here in California, and I met him through some mutual friends, and I actually moved into the house that he roomed in. So I moved into his room when he moved out. So then we just started hanging out and backpacking. What do you want to add?
I would just say that when I'm talking – and when Derek's talking, typically nobody's listening. But for whatever reason, when we're on backpacking trips, when we're talking at each other, people like stop and listen and are entertained. And oftentimes we'll say, hey, like who's right about such and such, whatever the topic is. And nobody wants to take sides. They just want to sit there and watch.
A lot of times the comment is like, how long have you guys been married?
Yeah.
When are the kids coming? You know, things like that. So
right. Yeah,
it's an ongoing journey.
We just decided, you know what, if people listen to us on the backpacking trip, maybe we might have a podcast. Maybe. We're still working on the maybe. We're still trying.
Do you want to hear something really funny? That's kind of how this podcast started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeremiah and I went on a trip with a couple friends of ours, and we were around the campfire, and Jeremiah and I just started talking, and the other two just laughed at us the whole time.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I don't know if Jeremiah remembers this, but I looked at Jeremiah and I said, hey, we should do a podcast. And he goes, nah, it's too much work.
Yes. Well, when Carl,
it is a lot of work.
Carl, before the show, you were like, so we're unscripted tonight? And I was like, man, if we did this scripted, it'd be even more work than it is. I'd be like, that's impossible, man. But John Drott.
No, I didn't say scripted. I said agenda. I want to make that clear because
we have like a skeletal.
We don't script our show. We just have an agenda. We're like, we're going to hit these topics or these points, but we're not like line by line scripted. And we didn't think you guys were by any stretch. We knew that you kind of just kind of roll with it, but I want to confirm, make sure that we're on the same page.
You seemed a little nervous though. He seemed a little nervous. Like, I don't know what to expect with these guys. We got to have some stories ready. These guys are going to just, I don't know what to, they're just not structured. Like, I think he got a little anxiety.
I was a nervous Nelly. I was struggling. Thanks, Derek.
I mean, all we really do is like have a skeletal outline of our show, and then we kind of just go crazy.
Well, I guess I used the wrong word there. Scripted, scripted is not the right word.
I just didn't want, to give people the wrong impression that we were scripted. Is all I was trying to say. But yeah, we might have a different structure, but you guys, yeah.
See, I was on their actually, I was on their podcast, Jeremiah, and they sent me my lines.
Oh, did they
verbatim?
Like, this is what you will say. These are the answers to the questions we ask you.
It'll be funny if you say it like this. Say these words.
I was like, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Carl's like, if you don't say this verbatim, you're out. You're out. That's I was like, just don't make him cry. Let's just have fun.
That's actually that was one of the things I was going to ask you guys about, because you got your own podcast all about backpacking, and I've been on a few myself. And sometimes you will get, like, I don't know, not really an outline, but a few of the points, like you're talking about, the kind of skeleton of how the show's going to go. Like, maybe
that's what good podcasts do, and that's why the backpacking podcast is still trying to catch up to these guys, because I was on theirs. I was on theirs, and they sent me some questions.
I think we just find it helps the show flow better. Yeah. Like, Carl's really good at, like, coming up with, like, questions we're going to talk about, topics we're going to talk about, just to – I think try to make the guests feel a bit more at ease. So I think that's helped us be more successful. But it's, you know, depending on the guest.
Sometimes it doesn't always work. So there's times when we'll throw questions at them and they'll say, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how to review them. And then I said, well, we sent you the question like a week ago. Did you look at the questions? Oh no, I didn't get to that at all. So it doesn't always work out, but we try. No.
The intention's there.
All I know is I know the secret. To why one of the secrets to why you guys are so good.
Stop showering us with compliments.
I know what it is. It's egg crates around your microphone.
Right? Oh
my God. That's what it is. It's egg crates around your microphone. I can see it right there. I mean that right there is a view into the professionalism of the podcast.
Yeah.
I got a very echoey house, so we're gonna get an upgrade of gear, thankfully, very soon. So I won't need this anymore. But it's gotten us through some tough times, you know?
I don't know that you should get rid of it. I think you should keep it, even if you haven't.
It's kind of vintage, right?
Yeah, it's your own thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, sometimes it's better to be different than be better.
Well, also,
I like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Also, it frames you up perfectly.
Right, you know where I'm at. Right? Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
People are getting bit, eaten sideways by a shark or something. You know, it's kind of like.
I mean, you guys will have the earmuffs on. I don't need all that. I don't do all that.
But you know, I mean, people. Maybe
if I'm video gaming, I'll get the headphones, but not podcasting. I don't need that.
Video game.
So
a lot of people, I think they kind of aspire to do some content creation, whatever it is. Like whenever I started YouTube, I just want to kind of share my journey of how I learned to backpack, because I started it I started backpacking in like May or June, and I started the channel in October of that same year. And it's kind of document my journey and like showing me grow, and then me figuring out some advice that I could give and that kind of stuff. And people, I think oftentimes will aspire to do some type of content creation, whether it's a podcast about whatever or videos or whatever, and they don't know where to start, and they think they have to buy all this expensive equipment and stuff. But like with the podcast, noise cancellation is everything, and the eggshells do an amazing job of that. And it's not like you have to buy, a big studio setup. You got an iPhone,
right?
You set it up, you talk to it, you make videos. You want to do a podcast? If you want to make it sound a little better, you sit in your closet where the noise is canceled out, you know, and you record in there or whatever. So I think kudos to you, man, for
That's a good point. There are podcasts I listen to where highly sponsored podcasts, and they'll be talking on their podcast, and they're like, you know, today, you know, I'm recording in my closet in, Bolivia, and so-and-so's in his closet in New York, and we're doing this podcast. I'm like, good for you.
And Derek pulls out the radio voice. Did you catch that just now?
I got a lot of voices.
That was the radio voice. That was like... I felt like I was listening to like ESPN radio or something.
We can get sultry. We can get very sultry. It's going to get nice later if needed.
I like that. We got a member of the backpacking community that we've both had on our shows. Devin Ashby is waving and saying hi real quick.
Hey, Devin.
Make sure we get that in there.
Yeah.
You see that. Yeah.
Now, something we do that's a little different that I got to make sure we get out here real quick is something we like to call the fake news. And there's a ticker that we run across the bottom of the screen. So we're going to get that up and running while we're in here talking. Okay. So my question, whose idea was it to start this podcast?
Well, we're going like podcast history here, right?
I'd kind of like to hear a little bit.
Yeah. We've got to get some context.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it's that epic of a story, but we were
at, like, in a minivan.
Yeah. In a minivan finishing up a trip in Glacier National Park. And it was just, yeah, like one of our best trips by far. And so I just was like, I've always wanted to do a podcast. I just, you know, I think podcasts are a lot better when you have two voices. At least that's what I typically listen to. There's some people that can pull off the one voice thing, but I know that I can't do that. So I kind of threw that idea out there, and Derek's like, I'll do it with you. I was like, really? Okay. And then a few months later, we kind of started up and running with our first few episodes, and yeah, I guess the way it went from there, but we didn't, I mean, you know, like if anything else, we had to figure things out on the fly there. We just were trying to, you know, we wanted to come across as at least somewhat authoritative. Like, we know what we're talking about. I like Jeremiah's angle where you're saying this, I'm taking you through my process of learning, but we'd both been backpacking for a long time. So we tried to, you know, drop some things about gear or some things like that we'd read in books to come across as, you know, like, we know what we're talking about. And then after a couple episodes, I realized that's not going to work because Derek's answers are nonsense. And so nobody's going to believe anything we say. So then
it's more fun to have fun.
Yeah.
So then it changed to, like, we have some information, but we're going to try to have, yeah, like what Derek's saying, have fun with it along the way.
Well, I wonder, like, at what point do you kind of think, I don't know if this is necessarily the best phrasing, but kind of become an authority on a certain topic or something? Like, I'm going to listen to an NBA player over somebody that just started playing basketball. But right. At what point in backpacking do you kind of think to yourself, and I don't know if y'all have a direct answer for this. I don't know if I would either, but at what point do you think, well, I have something to offer that could be of value to somebody else? Like, I have enough knowledge, I can keep myself safe and kind of pass some things on that may be useful. Do y'all know?
At what point is that? Yeah, at what point? Derek, do you ever reach that point for anything in life?
I mean, you told me the other week, is like, if once we win the show alone, each, then we'll have that status. I said we had to win Naked and Afraid. He said Alone. It's just, you know, kind of same thing. But
yeah, that's our barometer right there.
If they ever had me on Naked and Afraid, nobody would ever watch the show again.
There might be some good clickbait too, though. You never know. You know? I mean,
Naked and Afraid, that just confuses
it would be, it'd
me,
be
man.
Naked and Over. That would be the name of the show after that. It wouldn't happen anymore. Right. We want to let you know, like, our fans for this podcast are awesome, and they love Jeremiah. And we have been asking Jeremiah to create merchandise for over a year now. Jeremiah told us when he reached 10,000 subscribers, he would then have merchandise.
Okay.
Then he said, well, when I hit 15,000, I'll do merchandise. Then 20. Jeremiah, how many subscribers do you have now? 25,000 subscribers?
That's
awesome.
Well, not to toot my own horn, but I'll say it since you asked.
Toot it.
I think it's like around 28.4 or something like that.
Yes. Good for you.
Yeah.
Man.
And guess what? Guess what, guys? Jeremiah has no merchandise, so we've assumed as people who love Jeremiah that he hates us. So
that's not true.
Here are some of the comments that are coming out right now. Jeremiah's first merchandise is the set list from this podcast. We want Jeremiah merch. I just picked up the Jeremiah Stringer commemorative Gonex pack from his website.
Yeah,
which we'll tell you about that afterwards. That's a whole other story. But Jeremiah, can you explain to everybody who's listening/watching right now why you don't like your fans?
Well, I can say this.
Where does the hate come from?
First of all, I don't like how
disdain for everybody come from.
I don't like how that question's framed, to be frank.
The truth hurts, Jeremiah.
Don't accept the premise.
I've
got backup now. These guys understand. Like, when you're that big, Jeremiah, you're basically a phenomenon at this point.
Well, first of all, not that big. Second of all, John, if you remember correctly, I told you that during one of our meetings, you sit down and help me, that I am all in.
And then, and Jeremiah, what did you do the next day? You canceled our meeting.
We had a meeting today, and that was your chance, Johnny. You blew it. You blew it, and I don't know what you want me to say. You blew it.
It's all my fault that Jeremiah doesn't like people.
It's actually
Derek,
John's fault.
I'll make the same commitment to you. We've got like 5 YouTube subscribers right now. If we hit 10, we're going merch.
That's huge.
Okay.
That's
huge. So there you go. Hear it here first.
Hey, speaking of your YouTube channel, I have a question for you. Look at Jeff. Jeremiah's the backpacker that cried merch.
I saw your chat. Somebody mentioned, 10,000 hours or something will make you a master. I've heard that as well. If you calculate the number of hours that Carl sleeps on the trail, like he's gonna be like, Gandalf, basically. He's gonna be like the master.
Gandalf.
A lot of sleeping.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Jeremiah could compete with that because Jeremiah likes to sleep in on the trail.
Is that right?
So he could be, if Carl's Gandalf, I guess Jeremiah could be Dumbledore,
maybe. That's true. We got a couple guys in
trail names. Got some trail names right there.
I got to tell you, I was backpacking last weekend, not this most recent one, but the one before. Dude, I think that I should not have went because it was like 20 to 25 mile per hour winds all night.
That's awful.
All night I kept waking up because the wind was blowing my tarp so much. I was in the hammock. I was like, man, should have either not went or tented on this one, but it is what it is.
Yeah, wind's a bummer. Wind can be a bummer for sure.
Yeah.
How do you go to the bathroom in that much wind though? You gotta be careful.
You make sure you're peeing downwind. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Downwind.
It's true. You never know with a storm though. That's true.
That's true. That's true. Outside Comfort Zone says, real talk, Jeremiah should make shirts that say Jeremiah hates this shirt and the dude wearing it.
Oh, that's a good shirt.
That's fair. That's fair.
Jeremiah's like a pretty positive guy. I couldn't see you wearing that shirt or making that shirt.
Here's something that's actually positive and nice. So we're going to put this up there. But major kudos to both of you for keeping your show going for so long. Podcasts are hard, way harder than YouTube.
Mm. Oh, Devin, I got to say, I think that YouTube takes a lot more work for me, but also this is
for me too.
So Devin, I was on his podcast and he was recording that episode in his closet and it sounded fantastic, but he doesn't have a co-host. And I think that, like we were saying earlier, the co-host, if you can find one that you have good chemistry with, I think it makes things a whole lot easier. Plus, it gives me an accountability partner. You know what I mean? So, like,
that's one way to look at it. That's
yeah,
one way to look at it.
I wouldn't call Derek that, but
that stings, man. That stings.
That's what I think.
Since we have we don't typically have 4 people on our show like all at once. Since we have 2 wise backpacking gentlemen. Can I pose something to you guys? Can I ask you a question? Kind of play detective or referee, whatever you want
to
call
go.
It, for one of our
Buckle
ongoing storylines on our show?
Buckle up for this story.
Is this a good time for this or no?
Bring it.
Just just start it because whatever you're about to hear, guys, it's a straight up lie. Ready? So,
I'm just Derek. You can respond and give any missing details, but
we're rolling. Go.
Okay. One of the favorite things that we've discussed in our show was from a trip that we had a couple years back in Olympic National Park, where we show up to our first night at camp and Derek didn't have a sleeping pad. Okay. Huh. So like, where did the sleeping pad go becomes the storyline. So
crazy.
Like, I have my version, Derek has his version, but we're curious what you guys think about this. So we know he doesn't have the sleeping pad. We had taken a shuttle to the trailhead over some bumpy roads, and we had this kind of crude van with an even cruder trailer carrying our gear. So Derek says, I packed the sleeping pad. And so it must have bounced out of the trailer during the shuttle trip. That's his story. Okay.
Okay. So where was it packed?
That's a very basic description without
I haven't
a myriad
finished details.
Of details.
I haven't finished details, Derek, but where was it packed? Go ahead.
Well, let's just start with whatever the shuttle driver said later on that he's going to tell you. Just remember, this is the same guy who saw Bigfoot 4 or 5 times. So
Sasquatch is coming up. Derek, stay on point. Answer his question.
So where it was packed in the top of my pack, and the top of the pack was not cinched all the way for whatever reason when we arrived. So I remember cinching it and I didn't pay attention at the time, but yeah.
Okay. So Derek ended up solving the problem on the trail. He did a great job using some peat moss as a pad. He MacGyvered it. He was awesome.
Wow.
But we started to debate, like, could the pad have really, like, flown out of the trailer? Because I've never heard or had that problem before. And so
Was it an open trailer?
It was an open trailer.
It was an open trailer. It had walls. It wasn't like a flatbed or anything.
Right.
So then he says that he ends up buying, like, when he gets back from the trip, he buys the same exact sleeping pad, same exact color, like within a month or two of returning. He went to REI. He's an REI member, and we checked his REI history. Mm-hmm. He says he sometimes doesn't use his REI number for the dividend.
Frequently.
And so it's not on his history. So my suggestion is he simply forgot it and is now blaming shuttle driver Bill for losing his sleep for that.
Explain to me the sleeping pad. Is this, are we talking a foam pad, an inflatable pad? Was it in the stuff sack?
It was in the stuff sack. It was all in the stuff sack.
This is not working well for you right now.
Hold on, Derek.
If it was foam, I could see like the wind catching it.
Right.
That makes sense. If it wasn't packed in the stuff sack, I could see that's even realistic that the wind could get at. But man, bro, I love you. But man, I don't know. I'm not going to make a judgment.
It's a hard swallow. I get it. It's a hard swallow.
Let me ask a couple questions here.
He's more investigative than I am.
I want you to dig deep.
Well, I'm leaning toward what John's saying, that this is
most
a cover-up. So with that said, just to be transparent, I want to know, when you go to REI, because I'm an REI member too, it's like $20 for an infinite amount of time. And by the way,
it's 30 now. They upped it.
It's 30?
Steep.
Yeah, within last month they upped it.
Let me also say, REI, you got a great return policy. And we would still love for you to sponsor the podcast, but I need you to stop charging me $6 every time to mail my shoes back to you.
I did love my dividend this year, though. So
that's right.
Yeah,
but I just want to say I did love my dividend this year.
Dividend, yeah, it's great, but you got to spend money to get it. So anyway, with that said about REI, do they look up your name if you don't have the card on you? Because I've forgotten
phone
my card
number,
too.
Typically, isn't it?
Phone number.
Yep.
Keep all this coming. I got no problem answering all this.
That's
keep
pretty easy.
It takes about 10 seconds to communicate your phone number to the REI clerk there, the cashier.
So you
keep going.
That's too long for Derek, right?
Keep going.
Did you buy the alleged replacement sleeping pad in person or online?
In person.
All right. And what was the brand of the sleeping pad?
It's an REI branded. I have to go look it up. I think it's like, I don't remember the name of it right now. But
yeah, he forgot the pad at home.
It's a deduction.
I've got somebody actually has a really good theory on here. I want to put this up here. Did Bigfoot jack the pad?
Yeah, that
probably
that is a strong possibility.
Now there,
I mean, Bill.
And
look,
can
Bill
we just
saw him many times?
Can we just go here for a second? Can we just go here for a second? Sasquatch. Uh-huh. It's a big part of your podcast.
It's not a big part of our podcast.
That is not true.
We've done two episodes on it,
comes up all the time. And when I was on your podcast, one of the first questions I was asked was if I believed in Sasquatch. So,
okay,
what
it's come up? It's come
it's
up
in
a
your
few,
videos.
Yeah.
It's in your videos.
Videos for sure. For sure, videos.
So who's the Sasquatch person?
Well, Carl's a big believer. Obviously, I mean that's why he's siding with Bill about the whole, you know. Everything, basically. Yeah. So, I mean, you had the passion. You went and looked for him a few times. And,
I will say that was a nice segue so they didn't have to accuse Derek of making it up the sleeping pad stuff. So, well done.
I have no problem answering
Sasquatch,
whatever.
But, I don't think we're big. So, I'll just share this. So, we did an episode, like you've heard of the movie Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
And so, I forget what we called it. We kind of did a play on that in our first season of podcasting. And there was a point where we were getting, like, years later, we were getting more downloads on individual, like you know, just released episodes than we had total downloads on the Sasquatch episode. Nobody wanted to listen to that one. So we did one more just for fun. We had a Sasquatch expert on, and then I just said, Derek, have Adam, basically, because
that was juicy,
aggressively
that was so juicy.
Challenging everything. But I think it's a fun topic. I'm not like searching in the forest for Sasquatch.
anymore. Know, man.
If I look at your videos, right. I would think separate. I would think differently on that.
We made a mockumentary right. about the Sasquatch. That's not.
Those aren't real.
We're making fun. Wait.
Your videos aren't real.
It goes deeper.
The credibility is starting to wane right now. It's just starting to wane. I don't know, man.
I think we all want the real answer. Like, do you believe in Bigfoot? Like on air, live stream.
Yeah, I think that it's fun to believe in Bigfoot.
It's fun to believe in Bigfoot. So is it like Santa Claus Bigfoot? Is that where you're at?
I mean, there are some sidesteps in that. That one's one of the most sidiest.
Yeah,
steps
talk about avoiding an answer, right? Yeah, talk about avoiding an answer. Right.
So, Carl.
But what did you want to say about Bigfoot? You brought up the topic. So are you curious about
Jeremiah and I were talking, and we kind of noticed that he comes up.
Yeah.
It comes up, whatever you want to call it, in a lot of your episodes and videos and stuff. So we're just curious, you know, what spurned that on to start happening? So,
well, for the videos, we did a video that same trip I was talking about with the sleeping pad. We did a video where we're like pretending to search for Sasquatch, and that video, for us, it started getting more hits than our typical videos did, and then it started to grow over time. And so I thought, hey, well, maybe we should go down this road of fake Bigfoot hunting, and we can make some other videos kind of along that same vein. That didn't work. We tried. It's not working.
So did y'all watch the episode with the Shill brothers on their podcast or kind of podcast or whatever they consider it, where they talk to the expert? I don't know what they call theirs. I mean, it's I know the name of the show, but I don't know. It's like video translated.
I don't think so. Was it what do they challenge the expert or were they just kind of like playing along?
No, they are. First of all, I don't know why like true believers say Sasquatch instead of Bigfoot. So you can answer that, but no. Point.
Or Yeti.
Yeah.
That's snow version right there. That's different.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're in Colorado, it's possible, right?
That's true. Fair. Yeah. Fair point.
Yeah. All related.
No, they had a college professor on, if I remember correctly, that is at a school. I may not be remembering right, but it might have been Texas. I don't know. We can look it up, but y'all should check that out. There's a bunch of people into Bigfoot, like hardcore. Like I'm a teacher at a public high school in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in the, I don't know if it's English or whatever. He writes books about Bigfoot. He's a published author.
We went to get lunch after that trip, and I still remember the ranger came by, and we were like, "Look, we were eating outside. We're like, look, let me pull you aside, like." Is this whole Bigfoot thing real? Like, do you really believe in Bigfoot out here? Like, what's the deal? And she's like, actually, yeah. I mean, like, we have a town meeting tonight. The sheriff is coming. Like, they're all legit Bigfoot believers. And we're going to have a meeting about, you know, going to look for them. Like, we do this every month. And we're like, they were, like, serious. I was like, this is legit up here. They don't mess around.
Wow. So, yeah. Well, I will tell you this. Yeah. I what made me believe... I at one point I thought there was a Bigfoot. I did because I saw prints one time when I was backpacking, but then I realized Jeremiah had just been walking around barefoot.
Oh, wow.
At that point, it was like, okay, I get it. Like,
I feel your pain there. Yeah.
That's all it is.
Well, here's what I don't understand. I'll just share this. So let's say that we're all backpacking and I actually legitimately see a Bigfoot. Okay. And then I'm trying to convince you guys that I saw one, whatever. You may believe me. You may not believe me. But that doesn't mean that I have to make my whole life about the pursuit of this thing. And it seems like that's what people do is they become obsessed with like, I saw one. Now I must prove to the world that it exists. And I don't get that. Like, that wouldn't be my life passion. There's so many other things that are more important and purposeful than like proving the existence or non-existence of that thing. So we just think it's kind of a fun thing to talk about. But we try to kind of circle back with our stories and kind of like, you know, come to conclusions with things. And so when we had that expert on our show, I thought that was going to kind of put it to bed, so to speak. But Eric keeps bringing it up, so I don't understand.
almost as much as you bring up poop. I mean, it's about equal. So.
Oh, but it happened. There was. Everybody be happy.
Nope.
So Gary B. says, I met the Bigfoot Kentucky Researchers Group while standing in line at Miguel's for pizza. Showed me and my kids some crazy pictures that did not help convincing them to sleep in the woods.
I know.
So scared as kids, you know, talking about that stuff. So, since you brought it up,
since we brought
Pierre,
it up. Oh, the poop thing.
Do big poop stories. So
they do. They do actually. They're called the there's a code name for it. I think it's called the Big Squeeze. And once it is deployed, then yeah, there's a story to every Sasquatch poop. So, but you don't really find the poop. I mean, just like the, you know, where's the poop? I think Carl said they collect their poop and put it up in their tree nest. So I don't know.
Maybe they just practice leave no trace. I don't know.
They're really good at it. Like,
yeah.
Hide and seek champions of the world. You know,
I would definitely say Bigfoot is probably the best leave no trace follower of anybody.
Yeah. Mm. No question.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty impressive in my book.
Right.
So let me ask you guys. You just did an episode recently on poop. The entire episode was on
poop.
You
sound surprised by this. That's easy to do.
Not surprised. Not surprised for at least bit, actually.
45 minutes just about poop.
Yeah, people love that. That's a popular episode right there.
That was like a short version, you know?
in saying that, what is your most embarrassing poop story?
Carl, do you want to do your story you were telling me about?
I've got lots of stories, but we can... Well, I don't know. You said you guys listened to the episode. So one of the things we were talking about on our show was just that one of my tips, because we try to kind of, you know, come up with tips or ideas that people can wrap their minds around, was I just said, you know, if you're going to go to the bathroom, make sure you communicate to everybody where you're going. And then once you've done that, do it again and again. Make sure there's no reason why somebody's going to walk up on you while you're doing your business out in the woods or wherever you are. Because I've had it happen twice where somebody's walked in on me or looked over into my area going to the bathroom, and both times it was Derek. So Derek obviously had some feedback about that.
That's right.
So is that embarrassing for me? Is that embarrassing for Derek?
I would be more scarred looking at you pooping than I would be by somebody looking at me pooping.
I mean, how many times have you guys done a public service announcement in camp to tell people you're going to go poop though? right? Like, you don't do that. You just like go find a good spot. And I said to Carl, I was like, are you pooping with your back to everybody? Like, why can't you see people coming and like, hey, you'll yell at them? Like, it's not rocket science. You know what I mean? So
it's That's we were one time we were in the desert, and so there's not a lot of good spots. And it's pretty, you know, open and exposed, pun intended there. But the other time we were climbing a pass, and so we were above tree line at that point, and I just said, go ahead. And then I waited till they kind of crested the saddle, and then he gathered his friends to look back down upon me as I was going. So,
I gathered my friends.
Correct.
And look, that's wow.
Gander upon our friend as he releases.
I think that's a little egotistical. Like, they decided to turn around and look at my body as I poop. Like, nobody did that. Nobody wanted to do that. It's absurd.
Well, let me chime in here, because I listened to your episode, yes, and you guys also talked about how some people prefer like a privy, whether it's a moldering privy or it's just a pit toilet or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now I got to tell
station.
You. Yes, I hate like porta johns, like porta potties. Those are nasty. But in the woods, yes, everybody should. But in the woods, like a privy, I prefer. Now it could just. I think I've almost come to accept the conclusion that I don't love pooping in the woods because I have weak legs. You know what I mean? Like, if you had
that's where the trees come in, though. I mean, you gotta lean back on those tree branches.
Well, and let's just shoot straight, Jeremiah. You also have a longer drop than most people, so
that's true.
Your squat probably takes a little bit more squatting than the average person.
Well, you guys said hang, you know, you do like you're holding on to the tree and you lean back away, and that's your all's pooping technique.
That's one. No, that's just I think we covered a number of different techniques. That's one of them. That's not the one that I use. But here's my question. Are you going more at the end of the day when your legs are tired, or
you go when you go, Carl?
Are you just being humble?
You know what? I didn't even think of that. I don't know. I don't feel super regular when I'm in the woods. Now at home, A-okay, baby. But
maybe on the trail you need to eat like a power bar before you go. And then the energy.
I don't know.
Just a thought.
That is food for thought.
We got a couple really good comments in here. A screaming squatch means they need more fiber.
Absolutely.
And we've got this one here. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings, but every time a Sasquatch poops, an angel gets JS merch.
Solid. That's solid.
So
that's very so clever.
Cool. Just throwing that out for everybody so that they can hear that. Okay, so Derek.
Yeah.
obviously you're the more serious of the two of you.
Clearly.
So,
yes.
What would you say philosophically is the most important thing to know when you're backpacking with Carl?
Ooh, can you handle, like, you really got to warm up the ears. You got to relax the ears. And what I mean by that is you got to be willing to absorb, you know, a lot of complaining, a lot of whining, snoring sounds occasionally. Not that bad, but, like, you know, the shoulder pain. Again, we go back to the shoulders every few episodes. It's a disease. It's really a disease. So it's just trying to deal with that. So, I mean, Carl does it to himself, and I'll give you an example. Here's a story. We went on this trip, and we had hiked, I don't know, well, like 7-8 miles. We get to camp, maybe 10 miles. We get to camp, and he goes into his backpack and he pulls out this huge rock out of his backpack. And we're all like, and he's like, who put this in my backpack? This is absurd. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you guys did this to me like a long time ago. I'm sick of it. And he starts pointing the finger at me because everybody thought it was me the first time. And we're all like going down, like, who done it? You know, like, what's going on? Like, who put this huge rock in his backpack? Come to find out, drama queen Carl put it in his own backpack.
What?
So he's the kind of guy that will do that and then bellyache about it and then, like, just like try to get heat on me. And it's like this game to, like, deflect the heat. Like, you know what I mean?
It was a prank where I knew that our group would naturally blame Derek, and your impersonation was amazing. We actually got that on video, so you can see it didn't quite go down that way. But
initially,
yeah,
we're all like, what are you, what?
No, Derek got super defensive, and he's like, I swear I didn't do that. I did not do that.
Of course.
Because everybody was looking at him. Then that was the whole purpose of the prank. So, success.
The prank went back on you because you carried a huge rock in your own pack for like a quarter of a mile. Like, I don't know. If it was worth it,
it was worth it.
Okay.
It was worth it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I've pranked him other ways, which I find more enjoyable, but.
Are you guys trail pranksters? Do you guys have any good pranks?
You like to joke.
That happened to you, or you've inflicted upon people over the years?
If you ever hike with Miyagi, who's a backpacker to Wisconsin,
okay,
you will have pranks every time.
It's a great
Miyagi's one of those guys that'll get a bell and hang it on the back of your pack or something that's going to make noises.
Yeah,
and you're not going to know where it's coming from, but it's from you the whole time.
That's good.
Or you're going to have rocks, you know,
right.
All kinds of things.
Do you guys know
my biggest prank is setting up my hammock next to other people because then I will snore the entire night and they won't sleep. So
that's a funny one.
That's a challenge. Yeah. Challenge accepted.
That's torture. That's not a prank.
I scare bears away. So
that's good. Okay. I took a prank I did with Carl one time was like he was being a real, you know, stinker on that trip. So I said, you know, I had this like one of those like Ziploc packets of like some kind of like sockeye salmon or something like that. And so I had eaten it all up and I was like, you know, why throw this away when I can use it? So there was like the that little secret compartment behind the back of your
For the water reservoir. Backpack.
No, it's like the frame between the pack and the frame.
Between the pack and the frame.
Oh, yeah.
So I stuck this thing inside of his backpack frame. And it was there. How long was it there? Like 2 years, a year? Like how long
was it? No, it was only there for a couple months because it started to stink really bad. And it took a lot of effort to get that.
He couldn't figure out where it was. It was the best. And he acted like I stuck an actual salmon down his back, you know, his pack. I'm like, this was sealed. It was not that bad. You know, I didn't take a salmon from the store and stick it in your backpack. Although,
well,
now that we've talked about that,
I have two things to tell you. One thing is related to what you just said, and the second thing is the pranks. So, first thing, I'll tell it briefly, but I told it, we had Odie on, and he does the Hiker Yearbook, and we were talking about trail names. And whenever I was doing the Vermont Long Trail, I think that's the trail I was doing. Anyway, there's a thru hiker that's telling me how she got her name, and it was Mousetrap. And her and her boyfriend were getting all stinky because they've been hiking for several days, and it's time to shower, go to a hostel, blah, blah, blah. And then they showered and everything, you know, stayed there, left the next day. And they still stunk. They're like, what is that? And sure enough, like the next day, she found that she had been carrying a dead mouse in her pack. And that's what the stink was.
That's solid.
Yeah. Oh,
So somebody had put it there, or like it had crawled in and died?
Crawled in, and she packed her stuff on top of it, and it killed it.
Crush it? Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's just rotting in her backpack, and she's like, why do we still stink? You know, we showered and everything.
Did she get a new backpack? Did she get a new backpack?
No, I think she's through hiking the AT, you know, and it's full on, full steam ahead whenever you're doing that.
Don't you guys take stuff out of—
I'd say I've met several backpackers in the AT, and she can get rid of the mouse. You're not getting rid of the backpacker stench regardless.
Oh, right. No.
The smell on the backpack is never good. Like, once they get halfway on that trail, they're just going to smell the rest of the time. That's just life.
For sure. But don't you, I don't know, I feel like I pull stuff out of my pack, especially on like a multi-day trip, pretty regularly where it's empty. I feel like I would notice that.
Yeah, you would think, but
if you're using a liner, liner and somehow it got between the liner and the backpack.
Yeah, exactly. It was under the liner.
Yeah. Carl, Carl just pulled out a wrapper of crickets that we got sponsored by. There's crickets in this pack you can eat. And you just pulled that out of your pack after how long? Was it 2 years?
A few years ago, we had this Cricket Energy Bar sponsor that, you know, like using cricket protein to try to kind of promote their stuff. And they sent us a bunch of free samples.
Yeah.
And Derek really liked the crickets, and so he
the real ones, not the power bar.
They had the energy bars, and they had like actual
barbecue crickets
or something. Yeah, something like that.
And they're good. Really good.
I was giving my pack to somebody who's going to be coming on a trip here in a couple weeks with us. He's a new backpacker, and I was going through the pack, and I found the wrapper in that same salmon spot. And so,
you'd think he'd look right away.
The other thing I was going to tell you. By the way, he's right about Miyagi. He is like tied sticks to the place where you strap your chair in at the bottom of your backpack, and then they're dangling to hit you in the leg. And I'm like, what is that hitting my leg? But that's not what I was going to say. Sometimes I like to play like these little games. So my little trail family, whenever I was doing the long trail, we had a safety pin, and you didn't want it pinned on your backpack. And if you find it on your backpack, your job is to sneakily put it on someone else's pack when they're not looking or whatever. There's really no score or anything, but I will tell you, it was terrible luck to have that thing. It took like 2 or 3 backpackers off trail, you know? You do not want to.
You think that the safety pin had some sort of like magical effect that actually caused the
It was a voodoo curse.
Wow.
A
bad luck. Wow.
Well, voodoo curse for sure.
It wasn't the same safety pin that took them all off. We had multiple safety pins. I don't know what it was.
Okay. So don't
you got
bring
a pack of voodoo curse.
Safety pins on. Yeah. That's part of our first aid kits. That's interesting. But okay. That's like a pretty harmless, not carrying like a heavy thing or a smelly thing. That's a pretty harmless prank. So maybe Derek, take a page out of Jeremiah's book there.
there's no risk, you know, big risk, big reward. You know what I mean? Okay. So what we got?
Well, there is
up.
A risk because they can be lost for a while.
Yeah.
Bring a safety pin. Sounds easy.
It's called the tick. That's the safety pin.
Here's a question for you guys. Speaking of poop, since Jeremiah had a lot of poop questions, Carl has this belief, and I'm curious what you think. I have dug a hole. You know, when you go, I don't bring a trowel because I'm like, I don't want to waste the space with the trowel. I'm like, I'm going to use what nature gave me.
Right.
And you probably heard us mention, you know, sometimes I've used a pine cone to dig, and Carl's like, that's impossible. Can't do it. So my question to you is, could you theoretically use a pine cone in some soft soil that the Lord made to dig a little hole? To handle your business.
How about some Kentucky soil?
Not in Kentucky.
Okay. Not in Kentucky.
No, you would tear that pine cone to pieces. Like,
is it that hard?
Correct.
It can be. It can. We got a lot of sandstone, and we got a lot of like clay. And
maybe not up there though.
Yeah, and if it gets in the summer, probably what would you say, Jeremiah? Like July, it starts getting really dry.
Yeah, and like it seems like the pine forest where you'd find those pine cones. They're just absolutely full of roots. So even if you have like a spade that you bring with you, sometimes it's hard to dig a hole at all.
Really?
You know?
So let's imagine we're not in that region. We're in the other region. where the soft
let's imagine dirt. We're in sand.
Imagine we're in soft dirt.
Like in quicksand, which says suck you in there.
You still think it's not possible, though. I don't know what I'm getting. Like if you had soft soil, you can dig with your foot if you wanted to.
I just don't know why you'd choose a pine cone.
I don't know, 6 inches deep with a pine cone.
Man.
That's a lot of work, man.
Sometimes it's right there.
I think the pine cone's a lot more work.
You know what I get?
You're talking a 6-inch deep hole, and it's
I just thought of it. I get it. Because, Carl, your business is probably what, like 9-10 inches deep? And that's a lot more work with the pipe. So I get it. You probably need like a shovel or.
So what you're
like
saying that. Is that Carl eats a lot more fiber than you do.
It's just a genetic disease, I think, the size of what happens, you know. That's yeah. why he's maybe Sasquatch and him are more connected, you know, might be related somehow.
Oh. Derek was looking for some pine cone support, and you guys both rejected him, so he's, yeah.
I think they were kind of neutral.
It's not working out for you, then. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I mean, I know.
You can get revenge on our next episode, okay? I'll throw you some softballs.
Sometimes it's better to fly solo.
I'll loft you one, man. I'll loft you one. Pine cones are great, and I actually have some mutual backpacking friends that collect them, and they use them. They have like this giant glass jar, and it's like part of their decoration in their rustic living room. They put it on the mantle, and they're awesome.
Interesting.
I don't think they dig with them, but they're
only
still.
Only one way to find out. Only one way to find out.
I think they're wondering, Carl, is it fiber or cheese?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Good question.
It's Derek's made-up stuff that people are now buying into, is what it is. So,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Too much cheese is the answer. Too much cheese.
Whatever you want to say. People are going to believe you. So, whatever you want to say.
It's a solid comeback. You're getting better. You're getting better at your comeback. It's good. I like that. It's good.
Now, one thing I was going to ask you guys: you have the YouTube channel, Backpacking and Blisters, and I want to know. Who young Carl is? Who's young Carl? I watched the video, and I was
first
like,
"First of all, thanks for even looking at the channel, let alone watching a video."
Well,
let's be honest, nobody does. Nobody's looking.
Huge
at
support. Huge support.
I do.
Okay, that's nice of you. You guys are being very kind. Yeah. So, young Carl is my son, and yeah, he's way more comfortable on camera. I don't know where he gets that from. It took me years to be comfortable on camera. And
he called me up. We had
I needed some tips. Yeah. You know, how do I smile? How do I? Yeah, I just like Derek. How do you do it, man? And so yeah, so he likes being on camera. So I'm gonna try to incorporate him more, maybe make it kind of more of a father son kind of thing. So we've got a video coming out this week, which I was encouraged to do for a while now, based on one of our podcast episodes, something along the lines of like why I hate the buff, and that stirs up.
You hate the buff.
He got so much hate mail about this buff.
Let's hear it.
I think I sold a lot of buffs as a result.
I think I have like four of them.
People bought, they're like, you hate the buff, I'm going to go buy five of them just to.
Why would I buy a towel or a buff when I can just use a towel for all these other. Right. Like it was just a lot of attitude, a lot of hate, and you got flack for it. So
we got a little video coming out about that. Not that it's going to sway anybody's opinion. But
well, I've heard you're a big fan of the bottle clips, too, that you put on the front.
Yeah, those aqua clips. Aqua clips.
Yeah, nobody gave push. Yeah, we made fun of those for a while, but nobody gave any pushback on those. So
the reason I think we didn't get pushback was you said like you didn't even do it right. You didn't even use the clip right. So
eventually we figured it out, but it was. So we used it on that same Olympic National Park trip, and we were filming something. I bent down kind of like pretending like we found a Sasquatch carcass. And as I bent down, my bottle flips off of the shoulder strap into the carcass. And
it
was like a hot day and we were away from water, and I was like, I can't drink this now. It was disgusting.
He's like if it wasn't a Sasquatch carcass, I would probably drink it, but it's a Sasquatch carcass, so I can't do it.
Correct. So right. I thought, how can you, like, I wasn't like doing anything weird. I wasn't doing yoga or anything. It just like flipped out of the, you know, the shoulder
strap.
You put
the clip on wrong though.
No. At that point I was using it correctly. It flipped and I was like, why would you ever want something that's going to, you know, fall off of your or out of your pack? And so the only person I know that really likes him is Dan Becker. And so we had like a mini argument about that on one of our shows, but
and I think he has like a box of them.
Yeah, I think they were excited that he was promoting their stuff, so they're like, here, have a lot of these. But I don't know anybody else that uses them that really likes them. So maybe some of the people that listen to your show can say otherwise. But
look at the chat, Carl.
Derek, Carl, I'm going to back you up on this one. Okay. I do not like the aqua clip.
So have you tried it?
Yes. Okay. Don't like it.
I want to like it.
Not a fan. Not a fan. Derek Sargent likes it.
Okay. Nice name, Derek. Nice name.
Right. Something just to harken back to a comment that we had earlier. I used a pine cone to dig a cat hole in my living room. My wife was furious, especially after I used it.
Exactly. So, it does work. That's what I'm saying. It works.
You know, I thought that I didn't like the water bottle here, but I learned that if I use like the 700 milliliter or the 500 milliliter here, it's not as much weight as that giant 1 liter.
Yeah, but that's what I was using.
I wasn't using a clip. Like, I got the Gossamer Gear, the Mariposa, and I ordered, like, one of their attachments for the front, and it's like a mesh water bottle thing. And it also has, I'm going to prevent you from any future carcass terrible experiences. It has, like, a little, it's almost shock cord with a tab on it that goes over top of the water bottle so it can't fall out. Now, the catch is they need to readjust this. Gossamer Gear, if you're listening, you are also a great sponsor to the show, but let's amend, maybe make the shock cord a little bit shorter so with the 700 milliliter, it clips as efficiently as the 1 liter.
One liter, like,
I don't see you writing this down.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But the 1 liter you're talking about,
it's too heavy.
Over 2 pounds right here. And if you're offsetting that again with, you know, if you have two of them right, like, that's a lot of weight right there on
it's
your
too
shoulders,
heavy.
Right?
Or a camera. Yeah. Like, a lot of people wear the camera with the clip.
That's true.
So if you have a big one, big DSLR or something.
We've been over this, Justin. I mean, or Jeremiah, Carl's shoulder issues again. Like, he can't put all that weight on the shoulder. You can't do it. You just can't do it. So
no, I like it. I don't know. I used to do this adventure racing.
Do they have like an apple clip for like shot glasses? Maybe you could hang that on.
I used to use adventure races where guys would have that right here, and then they have like a straw coming up out of the bottle so they could just kind of like lean over and like sip on it.
Yeah.
And that was a little too much. That felt a little babyish.
Miyagi
has a baby bottle on it.
I
don't really
have a sippy cup or something so it doesn't spill.
Right. Well, gentlemen, it is officially 57 minutes into this podcast right now.
Where'd the time go? Where'd the time go?
It goes so fast when you've got two OGs, you know, basically Michael Jordan and LeBron James of backpacking podcast talking to us. So why don't you guys let people know how they can find you guys online? Because we want people if we've got people who are watching or listening right now and haven't heard of you guys, we want them to go find you guys because they're missing out.
Right. Well, again, thank you so much for having us on. Yeah, we love the Backpacking Podcast, and it's in my podcast app. And we really appreciate you guys and love the humor and the information you guys bring. But sounds like we might have some similar folks that listen to your show as our show based on the comments I'm seeing here. Some really funny stuff here. So we're just like you guys on any major podcast app. We don't do the video. We're not as fancy as you, but we have a YouTube channel that nobody watches. So if you want to be in early on something, it's your opportunity. And so any of the podcast apps are Backpacking and Blisters. I don't know.
We're on Instagram. Check out the Instagram.
Yep, Instagram, Facebook. Yep. So we would be happy to have you join the family. And there's room for all of us, man. It's just good hearing different folks, different voices, different ideas, and all that stuff. So, we love you guys.
Just trying to grow the backpacking community in a positive way. So
exactly.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Pleasure with you guys. It's been fun for sure.
Yeah. The way we bill ourselves is backpacking tips and tales. And I've been trying to teach Derek to say it with a sense of humor.
So, you want me to do it right there?
Yeah. That's awesome. Every time I should do it.
With a sense of humor. I don't know.
Too late. You're too late.
That really flowed well.
Thanks. Tips and tales with a sense of humor.
Way to leave a positive, lasting impression. We're gonna work on looking as good as you guys on the online portion of this if we ever Zoom. So thank you for your raising the bar. Like that, that coif Jeremiah's got is beautiful.
I gotta work on my
Carl. Just keep the hat on.
One
forever.
Can only dream. And, one can only dream.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you guys are great. Yeah, very funny podcast. A lot of energy on your podcast. I appreciate that. That's always fun to have that energy because some of them are just kind of like. You know, and it's fun to listen to you guys go back and forth. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. We're just glad you guys were able to do this. We've been talking. Actually, I think I've been talking to Carl about doing this for over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And we just haven't found the right time to pull it off and Finally got it to work out, and I think we need to do this again sometime.
Yeah, sure. So we're going to have you, yeah, just for preview, we're going to have the Backpacking Podcast on our show here in the upcoming months. So we're going to return the favor, and we're excited to have you on. We'll nail that down later, but that is going to happen. Mark,
absolutely.
Words.
Can't wait.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. We'll be looking forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, when he points like that, it's going to happen.
It means it. Yeah, this is confirmed.
That's huge.
The finger of power right there.
Right. So, exactly.
Right.
So.
Well, guys, thanks so much. And if you'll hang out just in the green room for a couple minutes, we'll come back in there and chat with you here in just a second.
All right. Sure.
Thanks for being on, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Dude, that they showed us how it's done. We really didn't even need to be here tonight, you know?
That was a lot of fun. We'd definitely have them back on, man.
Yeah, we had the pros were here, you know?
Yeah, showing us how it's done.
Yeah, exactly. So you got any trips coming up, Jeremiah?
I am. Actually, I'm headed out on this winterish trip up north on my spring break next week. That's why we won't have the live stream on Monday night, but we will have a Wednesday episode where we have Kyle Hates Hiking, Kyle O'Grady on.
And there are a lot of in there because of Kyle's creative language.
Yeah, I had I had to go a little heavy on the editing on that one.
But it was definitely great to have Kyle on to talk and hang out with us. We've got some great guests coming up still over the next couple months. Can't wait for you guys to be back on. But for now, for myself and Jeremiah, the king of backpacking stringer, we will catch you guys on the next go-round.
Adios, folks.